Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Twanda Black, your host. And joining me this morning, Rashid Shabazz, Vice President of Communications for the Campaign for Black Male Achievement, and Hank Willis Thomas, who is a contributor to the book that has been released. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning.
First of all, tell us about Question Bridge, Black Males in America. And I see that this started as a visual art installation.
Yes. Well, Question Bridge is a long-term video art / transmedia project, which is a collaboration between myself, Viatay Ross Smith, Chris Johnson, and Kamal Sinclair, where we have been trying to show that there's as much diversity within the African-American male demographic as there is outside of it. Mm-hmm. And the importance of that is because so often that we're seen through monolithic lenses that have very negative outcomes for us.
Yeah, it's so true. Did you begin this project way before all of Black Lives Matter and all of the police things that are going on, although it's been going on a long time, but seems so prevalent now? Was this before this or in the middle of it?
We started this project in 2007, actually, and then received support from the Campaign for Black Male Achievement to actually expand it and really kind of go on the road and travel the country asking African-American men to ask and answer each other's questions. Mm-hmm. And through this kind of art / social science project, we found that African-American men have very complex and nuanced perceptions of one another in the world. Mm-hmm. And the way that it ties into the issues that are existing currently is that so often we are told about ourselves, but so rarely are we given the opportunity to express our own perspective to one another about these issues and more.
Yeah, yeah. So what were some of the things that you were surprised by? I would imagine there were a few perceptions and maybe even stereotypes that are within, you know, the African-American man's heart. So what were you surprised by?
I was surprised by how much we have drank the Kool-Aid.
Okay.
That all of these kind of ideas about what a black man is supposed to be, which mostly come from outside of the African-American community. We are still wrestling with these ideas today. And so many of the prejudices that you'd assume that non-black people might have came out through African-American men. But also, my own prejudices were revealed, especially when we went to speak to men who were in jail. And their responses to the questions were, I think, often much more thoughtful, much more articulate, and distinguished than people who were in boardrooms or had very kind of prominent degrees or social status.
So what does that say to you that, and you were so right, that you have some great minds just sitting in prison. What does that say to you about, you know, where those men are and how they got there?
I mean, I think it, for me, there was this, especially the men that we met through, Chris actually went to teach meditation in San Francisco County jails, and that's how we got access to these men. And they were very aware of their own responsibility in bringing themselves to the situation. And but one person said something that I thought really struck me when he's like, I didn't know that it was a trap.
Wow.
He's like, I knew that, you know, this happened, but I didn't know. And he'd already been halfway through college, and he realized sitting in jail on his way to prison that it was going to be really, really difficult for him to get out of that system even once he was released.
And that's so sad. And it's like, what do you do? So I know that, Hank, you were a contributor. What did you talk about in the book?
I the thing that I try to put out every moment is that the craziest thing about blackness is that black people didn't create it, that Europeans with a commercial interest in dehumanizing us created black people. Mm. 500 years ago in Africa, there were no black people. They were just people. Mm-hmm. And they were diverse, and they were complicated, and they were beautiful. And this kind of monolithic reading of black people, quote-unquote, even in within the African-American community is really damaging.
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. I've never thought about it that way.
But one of the things that we felt really excited about with the book is it's a collaboration with about 180 people, really. Mm-hmm. We have the voices of the men who participated, but we also have Jesse Williams from Grey's Anatomy. It's one of our executive mm-hmm. producers, and he approaches the same issues from a very different point of view, and we were really excited to have Ambassador Andrew Young write the foreword to the book, which because he was one of the participants, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Along with the other artists. So it's great to have all of these different perspectives, and maybe Rashid can say what he wrote about.
What did you write about, Rashid? Because you look at, when you talk about U.S. Ambassador Andrew Young to the youngest person who's writing, you look at generations and how they think and their perceptions and stereotypes within the race as well.
Well, again, I just want to lift up Hank and Chris and the team, because the Campaign for Black Male Achievement, which is a national membership organization focused on improving the life outcomes of black men and boys, one of the core areas of our work is focused on changing perceptions and how people see black men and boys. And so when Chris and Hank came to us with the project, it was almost a no-brainer for us to support it, because of the idea of how do we elevate the fact that black men and boys are diverse. You know, there are so many stereotypes, so many ways in which we're seen as a monolith. To Hank's point, we really want to really challenge that. And so when they came with the project, my piece tries to delve into why we supported it and really understanding the implications of what Hank talked about in terms of the creation of blackness and this idea of black men and how it benefits white supremacy and how it allows mm-hmm. for us to be dehumanized, and how do we see more of black men as the assets they are to our communities and contributors to our communities. And those stories often are not told. And so even on this program, we're excited that you're allowing us to tell this story, because oftentimes you only hear about the negative stories. And even with the first African-American male president, with President Obama, you know, with his My Brother's Keeper, and a lot of the work that the Campaign for Black Male Achievement has helped support, Question Bridge is at the center of a lot of the work, because we really believe to get to the hearts and minds of transforming the conditions that we're facing in our communities mm-hmm. begins with perception, begins with the idea that we're valued, and that's why, similar to the Black Lives Matter movement you talked about, why that movement is so critical, because it's basically stating what should be understood and what seems so plain, which is black lives do matter. But a lot of times those things that we take for granted was allowed to get through social media, through media outlets, thanks to the young people. So when you talk about the generational, what's exciting is when you have someone like an Ambassador Andrew Young contributing to this, and you have someone like a Jesse Williams, then you have Hank. But then you see now generations of young people, what's happening in Missouri at the university, and you know, people standing up and saying, no, now is the time. It's exciting to see a new movement of young people taking the that mantle on and moving forward. So I think Question Bridge is the heart of that, because perception and challenging the perceptions of how we're perceived as a people is critical. And so that's why we as a Campaign for Black Male Achievement and all that we're doing to build work across the country supported this, and that's what my essay really dives into.
You know, and I look at the Missouri situation, and those are kids who are being educated and they're standing up, but when you look at the news every day and it's kids in the hood who are robbing and stealing and doing all of this kind of stuff, how do we reach that community and that black male?
Well, for us, that was definitely part of our mission. So this project is transmedia, because we realized that we couldn't just reach people who go to art museums, and we couldn't mm-hmm. just reach people who read books. Mm-hmm. We created a mobile app and a website, and we've also done several community engagement events where we actually go to places and have kind of town halls where we invite people who are considered leaders in the community. We call them blueprint roundtables, and we ask them to ask and answer each other's questions. Mm-hmm. And the important thing about the word leader is the general perception of a leader as, you know, a minister, a lawyer, a doctor, a politician is not, those are not the only leaders in a community. You know, very often the leaders are the people who are out on the street corners doing things that we don't necessarily accept. Mm-hmm. Is a reality of leadership and so many other things that we tend to look down upon. So I think having people, high school dropouts, you know, some of them are leaders. You know, they may be leaders of what we consider bad influences, but if we don't actually give them a platform to raise their voices and explain their own perception mm-hmm. and listen openly to them, we won't actually be able to get them to listen openly to the things that we want them to hear.
Yeah, I understand. I have two young men. This is why this is important to me. I have a 25-year-old and a 28-year-old. You know, and as a mom, on any given day, you don't know if your sons are going to come back home, and that's a little scary.
Yeah.
No, it's extremely scary, and what you see happening across the country and how what we see needing to happen goes to the heart of what we're talking about when we talk about the need to change perceptions. The perceptions that exist, the narratives that exist of us as a people drive policy, and the same policies that we see being implemented, whether it's trying to keep people from voting that we're seeing happening, or whether it's looking at how incarceration and criminal justice reform issues and those policies are all directed based on the premise that we're devalued as a community. And so to your young men, to your sons, for us it's so critical to affirm what Hank is saying, that how do we connect up all these people that are doing work, no matter where they're standing, whether it's the boardroom or the corner, how do we reach everyone? As Sean Dove, who's the head of the campaign, likes to say, you know, we like to support local leaders and hometown heroes. How do we lift up the countless people across this country that are doing great work every day? And so for us, the project for Question Bridge was an opportunity to hear all those multiple voices. What I love about the project most is that you'll hear from a gay black man asking, you know, a straight man how he feels about the community to people joking about, you know, how do you feel when you're, you know, eating watermelon in front of somebody, you know, or fried chicken, stereotypes that people have of us. But, you know, how do you feel about that? And people will say, you know, I don't even like watermelon, right? And so I think that it breaks the monolith, and I think that's what we need to keep doing, is really elevating and telling these stories and humanizing us as a community, as a people, and because it's just basically understood, it should be understood, but that sense of self-love, that sense of self-community and self-awareness, Question Bridge, I think, gets to the heart of that, and for me, that's where we need to move the conversation and hopefully elevate the challenge the way in which race and white supremacy continues to inform policies that affect the life outcomes of black men and boys, and also black women and girls.
It's true, because it's all connected.
And also I think that the key is that if we are successful in changing the perceptions of ourselves as African-American men and of each other, I think that's the first step in getting the rest of the world to realize who we are. And when I say who we are, is that we are many. There's over 30 million of us African-Americans in the country, and we cannot be deduced to a singular way of seeing. And I think if we can broaden our own perceptions of who we are and what we are capable of and what our community's values are, I think it will force the rest of the world to actually broaden their perceptions. And hopefully, rather than seeing a black man walking through his neighborhood with a presumed weapon, someone will see a person walking through their neighborhood on their way home.
So the new book, Question Bridge, Black Males in America, where can folks get that?
Well, there's so many places you can get it. You can get it online through Amazon. Mm-hmm. We can get it through our publisher, Aperture. And I've seen it in my local bookstore in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I was going to say that you can definitely, there's multiple places online you can find the book, but you can go to, over the next day or so, you can go to questionbridgebook.com where you can actually see more about the book, and the story of the book is told, and the contributors and those who were part of the book are listed. And then there's also a link that directs you to, as Hank was saying, in terms of Aperture Foundation, which is a co-publisher with the Campaign for Black Male Achievement for the book. They, on their site, you can also access the book. But our hope is to go across the country, as Hank is saying, is that we're supporting and funding with Aperture and others, support for the book to be a book tour, where we'll be going to specific cities and having town hall meetings and book signings. And we hope to revisit. We've been to Atlanta. We hope to revisit, and we'll be visiting other cities across the country. And so there'll be a lot of opportunities for us to present the book, share the book, and get it out in people's hands. And we hope that it's transformational for individuals who actually pick it up.
And you'll also share about the Campaign for Black Male Achievement. There is a website for that as well.
Yes, yes. The Campaign for Black Male Achievement, as I stated earlier, is a national membership network that seeks to ensure the growth and sustainability of and impact of leaders and organizations across the country. Right now, we're over 4,700 individuals and 2,500 organizations across the country focused on building the capacity of organizations and making sure groups are networked together and connected up. And at the heart of our work is field promotion and strategic communications. And you can learn more about us at blackmaleachievement.org.
All right. We want to thank you so much for all you do. Let us know when you're coming back to Atlanta so we can support you. Rashid Shabazz, Vice President of Communications for the Campaign for Black Male Achievement, and Hank Willis Thomas, who is a contributor to the new book, Question Bridge, Black Males in America. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.